Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Jamie. And I'm really excited because Jamie is going through a very busy time in her life in which it's very difficult to get workouts in. It's very difficult for her to spend time meal prepping and eating well. And she wanted to figure out ways to incorporate more fitness into her life without fitness taking over her life. And in this episode, we redefine the idea of the perfect workout. We come up with challenges for her to stay consistent. And I think especially if you have trouble staying consistent and finding time to fit fitness into your life, then this is going to help a lot. So I hope you enjoy it. If you do, please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. They really do help a lot. And thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Amy.
Yay.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you for getting on the phone with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm sorry that this took so long and that you emailed me and I didn't see your email for ages.
Honestly, I don't fault you for it at all. I take way too long to reply to emails as well, so it's not a problem in the least. I'm glad that we're finally on the phone.
Yes, great.
So talk to me. What's going on?
I'm actually really tired today, so I'm really sorry if anything comes out. I can't English today, even though I usually love to talk, but I'm just really fuzzy and tired.
Have you had your coffee?
Yeah. I'm not a coffee drinker, but a lot of tea, and went out for a walk just now to try and wake myself up. So it's good. I'll be all right.
where are you based again?
I'm in a city in the north of England called York, The original York, not New York. but I'm originally from Malaysia.
Got it. Okay. So, and what is it in, is it 2 p.m., 3 p.m. in York right now?
Yeah, it's 3 p.m.
Got it. Well, listen, thank you for getting on with me. I appreciate it. Basically, I know that you originally wrote an email explaining some struggles you're going through, and I went through it again just to make sure I was up to date with what you were talking about. But would you mind just sort of either if anything has changed or just reviewing what you're struggling with and how I might be able to help?
Okay, yeah. So I won't lie, I forgot what I wrote, so I just went back to look at it as well. Just to know what exactly I'd said. Do you want the short version or the long version?
Honestly, give me any version and we'll go from there.
Okay, so I think the one thing that you need to know about me is that I have come from many, many years of very compulsive behaviors around food. So I think I'm better now that I've found flexible dieting and I've been trying to maintain a bit more of a regular lifting regime. But, since I was a teenager, I think this is common to a lot of people that, I've done the whole gambit of crash dieting, all the different types of diets, eating disorder as a teenager, over-exercising in my early 20s, and then the other extreme of just not tracking my food at all and overeating or not exercising at all and not getting any movement. I'm at a better place now and I am finding a bit more balance, and flexible dieting has helped tremendously. I think I am at a much more peaceful and calmer space with my food. But that sort of compulsive behavior is sort of still there in the background, just ready to rear its ugly head at any moment.
Got it. Okay.
So what I had written to you about really was about how to kind of maintain a good workout regime and just good eating habits when we're going through really busy periods. And when I say busy, I don't just mean physically busy. It could also be sometimes when you have an emotional upheaval or so for example, last year, two very close friends of mine died within a month of each other, and that threw my whole routine and everything. And I feel like when I have the time and when like things are steady and things are calm, I can do it really well. You know, I can do the going to the gym 3 to 4 times a week and yoga, and meal prep and track my calories and my macros. I'm on, like, I am like 95% on form with everything when things are going well. But things, you know, life happens, right? Like shit happens. Life gets in the way. Things get busy. There's never going to be that perfect 24/7 where everything's like completely in your control. So I was hoping you could help me find some way of maintaining fitness and nutrition within busy periods, as well as to handle not feeling guilty if I can't do it.
Yeah. Does that make sense? This not only makes 100% sense, but I think most, if not all, people have or will go through this at some point. And I literally was having a conversation about this no more than 4 hours ago. That I was speaking with actually another woman in the inner circle who she just based on her, she ended up separating from her longtime partner and a new career, and she has a kid, and just like fitness hasn't been able to be as prioritized as she once wanted it to be, or as it once was. And so it's really working through the mental hurdles of trying to figure out, well, how do I incorporate it? How often can I incorporate it? Working through the guilt or shame of feeling like you're not incorporating it as much as you want. And it's very, very difficult. So, and there's a lot of nuance to it. So I think it's important to discuss. And this is one of those conversations. It's impossible to have effectively via email because there are so many questions involved and so many individual factors. So I'm glad that we're talking about it here. I really think that the best way to preface it is by saying there's no one right answer. You know, there's so much that goes into it from an individual perspective that needs to be taken into account. In terms of more recently, has this happened to you in the last few months? Are you struggling with it right now as well?
So I'm just coming out of a busy period. I've had a really busy 3 to 6 months. I wanted to add something as well to this. So I've been working towards my doctorate deadline for my PhD, and I've just finished it like last week. So I'm coming out of that busy period, but for the last 3 months, it's also just finding headspace for it as well. I think that's part of it. And what I wanted to add was that, you know, there is a part of me that, like, the compulsive part of me that could technically force myself to do it. You know, like, I could force myself to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and force myself through those workouts. So it's not like, it's not, sometimes it's not that you can't physically do it. It's that, how it affects your mental and emotional headspace as well. And so I kind of fell off the wagon. I know I don't really like to use that term because I don't really think there is a wagon to be on. But yeah, I've been a bit sort of slack with stuff over the last 3 months. Just because I feel like the PhD is quite mentally draining, and I just didn't really have the headspace to also deal with any other thing. And I saw actually on the IC, I can't remember who it was, but she said that she'd spoken to you, and you'd given her this great thing where you were like, okay, there are 5 things: rest, your social life, work, fitness, and family.
Yep.
Pick 3.
Yep. And just to be fair, like, I didn't make that up. That was I think it was Sheryl Sandberg was the woman that I took that from. It's always held true in terms of, out of those 5 things in life, you can really only pick 3 at any one point in time and give them a significant amount of focus, to the point of not necessarily maintenance, but if you actually want to actively improve in them, you're really only picking 3 is going to be your best bet. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself into the ground, and oftentimes you're not going to improve in anything, and then you'll feel bad about it. It doesn't mean you can't maintain in the ones you're not actively trying to improve, but it does mean that if you're trying to really like improve stuff and really move forward, it doesn't make sense to focus on too much at one time. And you know, it's a very cliche saying, like if you go after two different things, you're not gonna be able to, you're gonna get neither of them. You know what I mean? It's like you have to go after a couple, like one thing. And in this sense, like I went through it very recently with Gary. I was with Gary Vaynerchuk for 3 years, and it was a very conscious decision that I made to stop focusing on my fitness, my strength, everything, because I really wanted to focus more on my business. And
totally remember you saying that in several videos or in like Instagram stories, and that was really helpful for me to hear as well. I just think like if even a fitness coach like you is saying, hey, you know, there are some times where I can't prioritize fitness,
of course, and that's the thing. It's like, I think it's interesting. I think there's a few reasons that I was able to get through that without really much, really any shame or guilt. I had no shame or guilt. There were periods of times in which I was like, ah, damn it! Like I wish that I had more energy to do it. I wish that I was prioritizing it more. I was very conscious of saying not saying I wish I had more time, because when you start to say I wish I had more time, you're basically like letting yourself off the hook. It's basically, I knew I just wasn't prioritizing it. The time is always there. It's just, how are you prioritizing your time? So I was very conscious of how I would word it to myself, to my girlfriend, to everyone, being like, listen, I'm just not prioritizing it right now. And that's okay, because that's not my priority.
That is so true. I love that. I think if you just own that decision, that makes a huge difference.
100%. It's because it's the truth, right? It's not that the time isn't there. It's that maybe it's just not the right time based on your goals.
Yeah.
And we have to own it as individuals, because really the power is within us to make whatever decision we make. And the solution isn't to blame something else. The solution is to take responsibility for our decisions and then live with it and move forward from there. Because otherwise, if we take the alternative, then we're playing the victim card. And then when we play the victim card, we essentially take the power away from ourselves, which means getting it back is even harder.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. I was just thinking, like I said just now, you know, I could have forced myself. It wasn't a matter of not having enough time. Like, I could have just force myself to go to the gym, but I made that decision, like, instead of waking up an hour earlier to go to the gym, I decided I would sleep an hour earlier to get that rest that I needed, and I was okay with that. Like, I wanted to have that rest,
and you might have very well needed that rest, and it might have been more detrimental to try and wake up an hour earlier, however many days a week, from maybe the added stress from like the, it might have made you more unhappy, and maybe having that extra sleep would allow you to focus more on school or whatever you needed to focus on. Whereas, you know, and then maybe if you had been waking up that hour earlier, the workouts would have been shit. You wouldn't have been happy with them, and you would have been performing less, not as well as you wanted to in school. And it would have been more negative than it would positive. So I think that the way you're looking at this is perfect. Like, it's being able to take responsibility and then go from there. And I think that's the step number one, to really just recognize it's whatever we're prioritizing. And I think a lot of fitness professionals, unfortunately, they have that message, but I think they give it with a little bit of guilt attached, and not necessarily, not on purpose, but I think they're like, it's whatever you prioritize. And they say it almost attacking. It's like, it's not to attack. It's just, it's a fact. We do what we prioritize. And the more we can understand that and appreciate it and respect it and accept it without guilt or shame, the more power we're actually giving ourselves.
Yeah.
From there, in terms of my own personal I'll call it a struggle with fitness during my time when I was really focusing on business, I think one of the other main reasons I was able to get through it without really any issues from a guilt perspective, shame perspective, was because I know exactly what I need to do when I eventually will get back to where I want to be. So when I get to a point in which, you know what, I'm ready to really start focusing on fitness, yeah. I know what to do. Like, I know if I want to lose fat, calorie deficit. I know if I want to get stronger, progressive overload. Like, I know exactly what to do. It's no longer uncertainty. It's no longer like, oh my God, I don't know what program to follow. I don't know what's right or what's wrong. It's just a matter of doing it. And when you take away that ambiguity, it makes it way less daunting.
Yeah. Actually, that's something that my boyfriend has been saying to me, because I've been whinging to him about, oh, you know, I haven't been able to go to the gym, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, but you'll get back to it. He's like, you know what you need to do. And I'm like, yeah, actually, I do know what I need to do. I think if I'm honest, part of it as well, like, yeah, we all know what to do, don't we? Like, I do know that it's calorie deficit. I know what I need to do at the gym. All that. I think a big part of the struggle is almost kind of wanting, like, permission. And I know we've just talked about taking ownership of our decisions, but I've been working with my cousin who's a trainer, Paul Chong Fitness, who's based in Malaysia, and so he's been the one. He introduced me to flexible dieting, and he sorted out a workout program for me when I first started lifting, and I still check in with him occasionally. And if I'm doing really badly, like, I'll message him and be like, oh, I've been, you know, like, I almost kind of confess to him, like, that I've been bad, whatever. And he's like, no, like, bro, just chill. He's always like, just chill. Like, why are you working yourself up so much? He's like, it's fine. It's about consistency rather than perfection, which I really like when he says that. But yeah, it's almost like, you know, I don't talk to him for ages, and then I'll, like, message him with this confession. And it's almost like I want someone to just be like, oh, you're doing okay, and you're all right. And it's like wanting some sort of permission to not have to work out three times a week and be completely on track with my macros.
Yeah, it's – and tell me if I'm wrong. It sounds like you're looking to be reassured that you're not fucking up.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Even though I know in my head that I'm not – technically fucking up, and I know what I need to do, it's still that kind of emotional, like, oh, I just want a pat on the head. Someone yeah. to be like, there, it's okay.
and that's the thing. What I love about this is you're aware of it. Like, you know what you need to do, and you know you're not fucking up, but you also know that you as an individual will do better if you get that reassurance. So you're seeking out that reassurance. Which I think is really good from the perspective of, you know what you need. On the other hand, let's say you were like, hey, listen, I really want to step on stage for a physique competition in 12 weeks. I'm not even working out three times a week. I'm missing workouts. My nutrition isn't on point. I'd be like, yeah, you're fucking up. Like, you're not doing what you need to do based on what you told me your goal is.
Yeah.
But if your goal is just, number one, to be generally overall healthy, then we need to redefine what is an appropriate, what's like, not an appropriate, but what's what you need from a physical activity perspective, what you need from a nutrition perspective, and then from there, a flexibility perspective too. I think that probably if you're very used to going to the gym and lifting weights and that being your normal exercise routine and maybe taking it intensely, it might be that you're overwhelming yourself with what you think you have to do for a workout, which might be inhibiting you from doing other things that would actually benefit you but wouldn't be what you're used to doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, so I do tend to feel like, oh, if I'm going to go to the gym, it has to be for an hour.
Yeah, and you know that's bullshit. I guarantee you. You know that you don't have to do that.
No. Yeah. That's, you know, 20 minutes is better than no minutes.
Of course, exactly. It's one of my, like, most popular – people love it. I remember when I first came up with it, I thought people were going to think it was stupid, and they loved it. Was when I was like, if you had a quarter tank – if you had an empty gas of tank – an empty gas tank and you only had enough money to fill it up a quarter, you wouldn't say like, ah, no, fuck it, I can't go full, so I'm just gonna like just stay here on an empty gas tank. Of course not. You'd fill it up a quarter, go as far as you can, and then reassess. Same thing with workouts. Like, you'd rather get 15 or 20 minutes in because it's something, and because it's like one thing that I'll never forget is looking at the research around the benefits of literally just doing an extra 10 to 20 minutes of walking every day. Like, the effect on the mitochondria, the effect that it has on your body from a dopamine perspective, from like a cellular level, it's outrageous the benefits that you get from that, from like a longer lifespan, from a happiness perspective. It's pretty unbelievable. And these are things that we can't see. So we don't see like the 10 to 20 minutes extra of walking, like getting us ripped and shredded. But in my opinion, that's also not health or fitness. That's just like how someone looks on the outside. It doesn't really show you what's going on the inside. I very much believe that if you sort of redefine your idea of working out from maybe getting outrageously strong or getting really lean to just helping you stay as healthy as possible and as happy as possible and as energetic as possible during this time that you're not really focusing on maximal performance, you'll actually end up getting more exercise in with less stress.
Oh, I didn't even think of it like that. Yeah, so it's more about just getting enjoyable movement in.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it.
Okay. So I think, so over the last 3 months, like I said, I haven't really been maintaining a proper workout. But, you know, it gets to a point where, like, you've been sat at your desk all day for, like the full week. I do get to a point where I'm like, okay, I need to just move. My body wants to move. So I'll just go for a really nice walk for, like, 2 hours, just into town or something. And I'll reward myself by not reward. I also don't like that. I don't like this reward thing. The language we use is important. But yeah, you know, I'll like take myself into town. Like York is a really pretty city. And I'll just, yeah, I don't think about it as like I'm working out. I just think about it as like going for a walk. So yeah, maybe doing that more.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested in why you don't like that reward. And I'm not saying it's bad or wrong or good. I'm actually just interested in your individual reasoning. Like, why don't you like it when you say reward?
I was going to say that I would like reward, in inverted commas, myself with like a bar of chocolate or a donut or something. But I don't really like to use the words I don't like reward or to describe food with like moral undertones. Like, I don't like to use like, oh, this food is really bad, or like I'm cheating when I'm eating this food. I just don't like those words because I think they don't help us. It makes it a lot more emotionally laden than it needs to be, and we shouldn't demonize food. I think
I love that, and I just wanted to hear where your thoughts were. I agree with you completely, by the way. I think you said that perfectly.
Oh, okay.
I always like to ask questions about what you're thinking, why you're thinking, like, just because it gives me more insight. I agree with you completely on that. So let me ask you this. Let's say, and I know you know where I'm going to go with this as soon as I say the next few words, but let's say you had a good friend who was going through a really stressful time with school, with business, with their partner, whoever, and they couldn't get to the gym for an hour a day. Like, what would you recommend they do?
I did. When you first said those first few words, I was like, I know where this is going. If it was someone else, I would say listen to your body and just see what your body wants to do. So if your body is feeling overwhelmed with whatever else is going on in your life, then don't work out if that's not what's feeling right for you. And if it does feel right, go and do something that you enjoy rather than trying to, you know, meet a fitness goal or meet a particular regime. So it could be yoga, it could be going dancing, or just going for a walk. So just something that's enjoyable.
Yeah. Now here's where I might challenge you a little bit, and I think this is good. My only issue with the idea of only doing it when it feels right is if we only did things when we really wanted to, odds are we wouldn't do them for very long or very consistently.
That's so true, yeah.
You know, it's like it only work on your business when it feels right. Like only wake up with your kids when you really feel like waking up with your kids. Like, no, like sometimes you just got to do shit because it's the right thing to do, because we have to do it, because it's the important thing to do. And I think instead of saying, and I think listening to your body is good only when you know how to listen to your body. It's sort of like, we'll read the book, but what if you don't know the language that it's written in? Right? It's like we can only read the book if we understand how to read and if we understand the language of the book. So for me, I think it's more important than saying necessarily listen to your body. It's more important to redefine how we're defining a workout. And if your definition of a workout right now is an hour-long session of intense weightlifting, maybe we should say, you know what? That's not the only way to work out. Maybe a 20-minute walk would now be your new definition of a workout.
Like just for this period of time, you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Right,
yep.
Right, okay. And, yeah, makes sense.
And the broader your definition, the more – because – all of this is so nuanced, right? Like we said at the beginning, like all of this is a very nuanced topic. So, I mean, not everybody who works out is going to be lifting heavy weight in the gym for an hour. I mean, there are some people who when they work out, like maybe they prefer doing TRX. Maybe they prefer doing kettlebells. Maybe they prefer doing CrossFit. Maybe they prefer doing Zumba. You know, maybe they prefer whatever it is. There's so many different ways to work out. I think that we really have to broaden our definition of this in order to understand there are so many benefits to so many different modalities, and the more that we really reduce it down to one way of doing things, the more likely we are to do either do that or nothing at all, and there's just so much gray area in between where so much benefit lies.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I'll give you an example. When I was competitively powerlifting,
I
couldn't imagine any other way of working out. I was like, I'm going to lift really heavy weight. I'm using the barbell, squat, bench, deadlift. Like, this is it. My workouts are an hour and a half, four times a week. This is it. And I deadlifted four times my body weight. I deadlifted 535 at 132. I put the bar down at the competition and I said, that's it. I'm done. And I had almost like a mini crisis of sorts for the following months, being like, what the fuck do I do in the gym if I'm not training for a competition? Like, what do I do? Like, what does a normal person do in the gym if they're not lifting as heavy as – literally, I remember being like, what the fuck do I do? Like, I don't – and I hired a coach. That was one of the first times I hired a coach because I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And I was like – so basically I hired a coach who specialized in working with mixed martial arts fighters. I was like, I want a program that's going to help me like improve my work capacity and my strength and my flexibility and my explosive power and like more from a fighting perspective. And I remember after I did that, his name is Mike Perry. He's a really good friend of mine. I was like, I'm always going to hire a coach. I'm always going to have a coach do my programming because they're always going to offer a new insight into how I can work out. That's going to sort of change my definition of what a workout is. And I remember those workouts were 25, 30 minutes max. It was completely different than what I was doing for powerlifting. And it allowed me to finally have fun again, to really enjoy it and not dread going to the gym. And really, that's what the fuck this is all about.
Yeah, I think, see, like, I know that, like, in my head, intellectually, I know that if I went and did a workout, I would feel better on all levels. But I think the problem was that I was restricting that workout to a particular, like I had a vision of what that workout needed to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. So, and that's why, I don't know if you've seen it, but that's why in the Inner Circle, I'm so big on having so many different types of workouts, right? So it's like,
I have seen, yeah.
The main ones are the ones that I'm the most passionate about. Like the new additions every month, we have the main strength workouts, like the big heavy lifts, and anyone can do them. But we also have the different workout manuals, right? So we have like the body weight workout manuals, the kettlebell workout manuals, the dumbbell workout manuals. We have workouts from like 10 minutes to 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And the reason that we have those in there is so because I know people have more going on in their life than just fucking fitness. And I would never expect anybody to be like, let's spend an hour in the gym every day, 3 or 4 days a week. It's like, sometimes you might need to take 6 months or a year to only do bodyweight workouts that are 20 minutes long. And I would way rather that than doing nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that I was doing, it's so minimal, but what I would do is like in between writing or working or whatever, you know, whenever I went to make a cup of tea, and when I was waiting for the water to boil, I'd smash out like 10 squats, like just body weight squats.
I love that.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do something instead of just standing here. So yeah, I guess it could be little things like that do add up through the day, don't they, I guess?
Oh my God, absolutely. And like, that's an amazing, amazing start. I think that's tremendous. From there, to make it more fun and to maybe add up a little bit more volume, like that's why I like either having times or having numbers. So like you could do like, listen, every day I'm gonna do 100 bodyweight squats. I don't have to do them all at once. You could do them like 10 an hour for 10 hours, right? It's like now all of a sudden like over 10 hours you've done 100 squats. And if you wanted to do 100 squats and 50 push-ups, then you would do 10 squats an hour and five push-ups an hour for 10 hours. And then at the end of that day, like you've done literally 100 squats, 50 push-ups. That's not insignificant. That is very, very – like that has a lot of benefit.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally different when you break it down like that.
Right? It's one of those things. All we're doing, and I love this discussion. I'm like, I literally, like the hairs on my arms are standing up. I'm super excited about it.
I'm really excited too, because it's like, yeah, it's just a different way of thinking about it, actually.
That's exactly right. It's just redefining workout. It's all it is.
Oh, yeah, that is, yeah, I think because I have this tendency, this history of being quite compulsive, I do feel like, oh, it's got to be this way or like no way. And actually, like, nobody said that it has to be this way, right?
Except me. That's exactly right. It's one of my all-time favorite ways to explain this, and this isn't – I didn't make this up. So one of my mentors when I was, like, 14, 15, Kevin McCarthy said this to me. I remember I was learning program design. I was learning how to coach. I was a teenager, and I was very new to it. And one of the examples he used with me that I think was probably one of the most profound things he ever said, or one of the profound lessons I ever learned, was imagine if in the world we just removed all staircases. Like there were no more staircases. There were no stairs. There were no elevators. There were no escalators. And in place of all of these stairs, all these elevators, all these escalators was a rope. And the only way to get up to the next level or to go down was to climb the rope.
Right.
Then over time, everybody would be able to climb a rope. Like, eventually, everybody would be climbing ropes. And doing rope climbs wouldn't be that impressive anymore because we would just do it, right? That's just like we would adapt. We would get strong enough. And he was explaining this in the context of pull-up programming. And there's a type of programming called Grease the Groove, which is just you don't go to the gym and work until failure. You just do a couple every now and then, several times throughout the day, never to failure, just to practice the movement, grease the groove. And the more you practice it, I mean, walking upstairs is something that we do necessarily without really thinking. It's easy. Yeah. It's not, I mean, we might get out of breath at the top of a staircase sometimes, but it's not like it's taxing on the legs unless you just had a max effort squat workout the day before. So like walking upstairs is something we do because we do it so often. It's the same thing. If we were required to climb a rope, then we would do that without really thinking about it. And we could treat workouts in the same way. The workout doesn't have to be a 60-minute maximal effort session. We can split up the movements throughout the day, even if it's not really heavy, even if it's not going crazy intense, but because movement is more important than not moving.
Yes. Yeah, and actually, like, that's also, it's natural, isn't it? Like our bodies are made to move as well. So even if it is just body weight, it is still beneficial, right?
Absolutely. And you even said, like, it's not, your goal right now is not to focus on prioritizing muscle growth or maximal strength. Like your goal, you have different priorities. In sleep being a major priority, your in terms of you need enough sleep in order to focus on school. It's like, you have identified your priorities, and then from within there, what can you do to make sure that you at least stay healthy?
I guess I that also overlaps with nutrition, doesn't it? Like,
of course, absolutely. That's
that I've kind of let that go by the wayside a little bit as well. Confession time. Although I did want to say this because I thought you should know. You know your thing about you can't fuck this up?
Yes.
That thing you always say. I wanted to just share with you like how that works for me, because I was thinking about this just recently before getting on the call with you. And it's so powerful, just that thing of like you can't fuck this up and tomorrow is a new day. And it really helps just being able to talk to people on the IC and just being on the Facebook group, and the support and the encouragement from everyone there is amazing. In terms of my food, so I usually, when things are fine and things are calm, I meal prep, I track quite religiously, and I enjoy doing that. You know, I like tracking and knowing, being on top of things. I haven't really been tracking that well, and not meal prepping as ardently over the last 3 months, but, literally, so I think since July, so like for 3 months, every day I have been saying to myself, it's okay, tomorrow is a new day. And I know that sounds really cliche. It's that, you know, that thing where people are always like, oh, diet starts on Monday. And I've like literally been like that. I've been like, never mind, tomorrow is a new day. I start again tomorrow. I start because I can't fuck this up. I'm still on it. I'm still on the program. I just start again tomorrow. And that's been huge, because even if I'm not doing it perfectly, when just having that mindset that like, no, you know what, I can start again tomorrow. It means that, you know, for breakfast and for lunch, for example, I'll eat really well. I'll prep something really healthy. That's good. That feels good in my body. And then, okay, I haven't been very diligent about it. You know, by the time I sort of hit 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening at the end of the day, I'm like really knackered. I'm so tired. I just want to eat all the biscuits and all the chocolate. Again, I know that it's a different time of my life. I'm prioritizing things differently. So yeah, you know, I'm eating a bit too much chocolate. I'm eating a bit too many packets of crisps, but just I keep hearing your thing where you're saying like, but you can't fuck this up, you can still start again tomorrow. And I think that's what's kept me at least a little bit on track, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense, and it makes me really, really happy. The way that I look at it is like, if you saying that at night allows you to get back on track for breakfast and lunch the next day, then two solid meals a day and one meal is way better than just weeks of not being on track at all, right?
Yes. It's like, so the old me would have been like, oh, well, you know, I can't manage this now. I fucked up. I'm just going to eat biscuits for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would have just been like, fuck it, I'm not even gonna try. I'm just gonna eat shit, like, all meals of the day. And whereas now, like, with the, okay, you know what, I can try again the next meal. I can try again the next day. So, you know, it's helping me stay on track with good food choices at least 50 to 60% of the time.
And that, I'll be honest, like that 50 to 60% of the time can be a huge, huge, huge benefit and can honestly change your life. Like, what if you just went to 0%, right? Like, literally.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the mindset that I would encourage you to take over to your workouts too, right? Where it's like, on your nutrition, you're using the, you can't fuck this up very well, because you're getting back on, you're doing it for breakfast and lunch, like 50 to 60% of the time. With the workouts, now it's just, you actually did a very good job intuitively of understanding, well, listen, I can't meal prep, or I'm not meal prepping, and I'm not doing all this, but it's okay because I can still figure out ways to eat in an overall healthy way 50 to 60% of the time. Now we have to do the same thing with workouts where it's like, listen, you can't get to the gym for an hour. You can't lift heavy weights. So maybe just walking for 20 to 30 minutes a day or maybe doing 100 bodyweight squats. Like it's the exact same principle applied to a different aspect of fitness.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of them. That's so obvious.
It's only obvious to me because this is my, I hope it's obvious to me because it's my job, but like my job is to then relay it to you and explain it in a way that makes it seem obvious so that you can then do it relatively effortlessly, I mean, or relatively simply. I wouldn't say effortlessly because it does take effort, but I think that what you've done a very good job of identifying is from the very beginning, and I'm honestly very impressed about it, is you've done a very good job of identifying what your priorities are right now and coming to terms and appreciating and respecting and acknowledging that that's what you need to focus on right now. That's like it, like those are your priorities and you need to focus on them. And trying to do too much at once would do much more harm than good overall. So now that we know what your priorities are, we know what you need to focus on, we can understand that for the next period of time, your workouts might not be as intense as they once were, and your nutrition might not be as optimal as it once was, but it is at least better than not focusing on either of them at all. And even when you don't want to do anything, at least you're doing what you know is right and focusing on it a little bit to glean at least some benefit, which will far outweigh doing nothing at all.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, do you feel better about that?
Yeah, I do. I really, really like what you said earlier about just redefining what I mean by workout and that allowing that definition to change from phase to phase of my life, because our lives are never going to just be like one static phase, right?
That's exactly right. And I'll give you one tip that I've found to work really well. And I said something similar to this on a YouTube video recently where I was talking about when people are trying to get you to drink, like when you go out to a party, and I don't drink. Like I'm not a drinker, not because of any health issues, just because I don't fucking like drinking and it's an outrageous amount of money. But when for whatever reason, people almost think it's okay to be like, ah, come on, have a little, have one. Yeah. But when I've said I'm doing a challenge where I'm not going to be drinking, all of a sudden people just accept it. They take it at face value, like, oh, wow, okay, cool, never mind. And so they don't offer anymore, which is very interesting. And I think we really respond well to challenges as humans. I think we really do take challenges to heart and for a number of different reasons. And I think what might work well for you is to give yourself challenges, whether it's the challenge of 100 squats a day, whether it's a challenge of drinking a certain amount of water, whether it's a challenge of getting a certain amount of steps in. I mean, and you see like these scavenger hunt challenges that we do in the inner circle for the workouts, those are different challenges to push people within the workouts we're doing. But you could create your own scavenger hunt challenge. We could even make our own scavenger hunt challenge just for just what you're doing right now. It's like maybe a certain amount of steps per day or a certain amount of steps per week, so you don't feel like you have to get all of them in every single day. It could be a certain amount of water per day. It could be a certain amount of squats. But giving yourself these challenges, because it will help you stay motivated throughout this time, and it will help you focus on when you have a challenge, for example, of doing 100 squats a day. Even when you don't feel like doing anything, you will now have a reason to do it. You'll now have a, listen, I don't feel like doing it, but I know it's the right thing to do. And at least if I hit those 100 squats, then I've done something for the day and I've kept my habit in check.
I love making lists and I love tracking things. And one thing I loved doing, so in August, I gave myself a little accountability challenge. So I know this is sort of one step behind what you're suggesting, but I would report in every day into the inner circle how my nutrition was for the day. And that was a little bit of a challenge for me because I was like, every day, if I was about to like scoff my face, I'd be like, okay, how am I going to report this on the group?
I love that.
And everyone was really supportive on the group, of course, like it's such an amazing space. So, yeah, I feel like that kind of thing really does help me, yeah. like a little mini challenge. And I also remember you saying, like, do things in like small bursts. Like, it doesn't have to be a challenge for like a whole year. It could just be for 2 weeks or four weeks or a month or something.
Oh my God, absolutely. You could literally do, like, for the first week, I'm going to do 25 squats a day, right? I would have like one nutrition challenge and one nutrition, one exercise. So it could be, I don't know, I'm going to walk 2,000 steps a day, and I'm going to drink like 6 glasses of water, just off the top of my head, right? Just completely right. random, but do right. that for the first week. And then for the next week, you have a different one. And maybe, like, I don't know, maybe in the same way that you used to meal prep, like you used to have meal prep ahead of time. Now, yeah. instead of taking the hours that it takes to do that, is take 10 minutes to come up with your weekly challenge. Maybe it's your weekly challenge for nutrition would be, I'm going to have one salad a day, right? It's like,
I love this. This is making me excited about things again.
That makes me happy, because I want you to be excited about it. I want you to look forward to it. That's what this is all about. It's not about optimizing your training to become an Olympic lifter. It's about doing what you can do with what you have right now to enjoy it and to improve your health long term. And if that means you, instead of meal prepping, you create challenges for yourself on Sunday night, so you have something to look forward to during the week, I'd say that's fucking awesome.
Oh, this is such a novel way of thinking about it. I think it shifts things from being an obligation. I'm not saying like lifting is an obligation, because when I have time, I love it. I fucking love it. But when there are other priorities, it tends to start feeling like, oh, another thing I've got to check off on my like chore list. Whereas doing something like this, it feels like something you can look forward to instead, because it's something novel. It's different. It makes me excited again.
Yeah. And I think best of all, one of the major things that you said at the beginning, you're like, well, how do you do this and not shame yourself or feel bad about not doing it? Now it's literally going from a negative to a positive. It's going from a pessimistic, I'm not doing what I need to do, to an optimistic of like, it's a completely different training program, completely different nutrition, but it's finding the way to look at it from an optimistic, no matter where you are, right? It's like, you could either say, oh, fuck, I can't meal prep, so, like, what's the point? Or you could say, I can challenge myself to have one salad a day every day. It's always finding the way to view it optimistically, and the option is always there. Sometimes it's just we have to be a little bit creative to find it.
Yeah, and that fits into the flexibility that you mentioned right at the start of the conversation as well, that it's – then there's always going to be something that's possible, right? Like, there's always going to be something that I can do with given the constraints of that particular time or whatever. It's something that can work around where I am and what I'm doing at the time.
That's exactly right. Does this make you feel better and you're excited and you're looking forward to it?
I know I've said this like 5 times, but I really like what you said about redefining workouts and how we think about what is a workout, and that even doing the 10 squats while I wait for my cup of tea to boil.
That's perfect. I love that. And you could even, I mean, I'm just thinking of a bunch of challenges off the top of my head. Like, let's say you have 10 minutes for your tea to boil. Like, you could say, all right, for these 10 minutes, I'm going to see how many squats I can get in. And then every night while you're boiling your tea, you try and beat the number you got the night before. Right? It's like, all right, well, I got 50 last night, so I'm going to try and get at least 51 tonight. Or maybe you try and you do it, you like add them up for the week. So instead of a daily challenge, you add up your squats for the week in that 10-minute period. And then the next week, you try and get more squats over the course of that entire week. It's like, there's no shortage of ways to challenge yourself. It just sometimes takes some creativity. And I like these challenges because they're a little bit of a fire under your ass to this is progressive overload, right? That's getting stronger. It's improving. Yeah. That's literally what it is. It might not be with however much weight on your back, but you're doing more squats in the same amount of time. You're improving your work capacity and your endurance and your strength.
Yeah. I think it's also it's reassuring to hear from you that you can just work with body weight stuff. There's always a part of me that's like, oh, I feel like a wuss if I'm just doing body weight stuff, you know? Like, if I haven't got a barbell across my back, then it doesn't count. but yeah, it's kind of, it's good to hear you say, no, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, I'll walk by some of the playgrounds in New York City and watch people who literally only train with body weight, and they're jacked and shredded and strong as fuck, and like doing single arm push-ups and pull-ups and just create, like, body weight is an incredible tool. Just like barbells are an incredible tool, and kettlebells and TRX, like, they're all tools, and neither of them are inherently better or worse, but they all have a time and a place. And in the time and place that you are in your life right now, I'd say your body weight is the best tool you can use.
Yeah, and it's better than no tool, right?
That's exactly
it's
right.
Better it's than like sitting. Yeah.
Challenge yourself to see how many squats you can get in 10 minutes, or just sit down and scroll through Instagram and feel bad that you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, no, that's the alternative.
Yeah. Great.
Does this, like, do you have any more questions? Does this solidify and clarify things for you?
Yeah, it gives me, just like new perspectives and new ways of approaching.
Good.
This whole thing.
So,
yeah.
So one thing before we finish, I'm going to give you one more challenge, and sort of similar to what you did before, but I'm going to challenge you to go into the inner circle,
right?
And explain what we spoke about. They'll hear the podcast, but explain and take a few minutes, but think about what your first challenge is going to be. Your first nutrition challenge and your first workout challenge. What they're going to be, and explain the what the specifics are, whether it's like the T squat challenge, or whether, I mean, I actually love these challenges so much I might incorporate them in the next edition of the Inner Circle. But I mean,
right.
It could be the T squat challenge, it could be the one salad a day, it could be the steps, it could be any number of things. But explain the specifics of the challenge and the duration of the challenge, and then and every time you make a new challenge, update us in the Inner Circle, and we'll help you with your accountability.
That's fab. I like that. I was thinking of doing that anyway. I was gonna like hold myself accountable within the Facebook group anyway.
I love that.
Yeah.
Jamie, this is super exciting. I love this. Thank you so much for getting on the phone with me.
Thank you for this. It really has clarified things for me, because I was just feeling like, you know, when you feel like you're just wading through treacle and you're like, don't know what to do. I'm just kind of.
I get it 100%, but I really think that I learned a lot during this, and I think you did too, and I'm excited to watch your progress, and again, not trying to be a physique competitor, but just to do what you need to do now to maintain a smart habit, a healthy habit, and then eventually when the time comes to, if you want to get back in the gym with a barbell, then you'll know when that time is ready, and we'll make that happen.
I was going to say as well, the other thing that I've loved about this call, which is what we started the conversation with, was it's getting clear and really acknowledging that it's okay to have different priorities at different times. And yeah, you know, this is something that my cousin, who's also my coach, has said to me before, like, you know what, dude, like, why are you so stressed out? Like, you're not competing in a competition next week. You know, there's no race or anything like that. There's no race or no competition. You have different things. Like, you have life happens.
That's
and
exactly
it's okay
right.
to have to choose different priorities for life at different points in your life.
That's exactly right. I love that. That's perfect.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate you picking up my email. And
of course. Thank you for being open enough to send the email and chat. It means a lot. And I'm excited. And please keep me posted with your progress, okay?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Of course. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.